Good morning, Kansas City. This is your host, Pastor Rodney Barlow of Lighthouse Church of Independence. So glad that you are on the air listening in with us. We're so excited that we get to talk to you today about our topic, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is something for every believer that they should receive it. But before I go into that lesson, I want to first talk to you about what's coming up at Lighthouse Church of Independence that is open to the entire Kansas City community, and that is our annual community outreach event that we host right at our location. Again, we are at 14411 East 33rd Street South in Independence, Missouri, right behind Truman High School off of Nolan Road on I-70. At this event that we do, it is a fantastic event. We open up our area. We have face painting, bounce house, games, music, prizes. All of this is going to be taking place there. We'll have free Walmart gift cards. We'll have passes and prizes from area merchants, including Cool Crest, Pizza Street, a bike giveaway, tons of activities. And it is open to the entire family, and we want to invite you out to that. That date is going to be on June 29th. It is a Saturday, and it will be going from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Again, it is no charge at all. It is free admission to everyone, and we want to invite our entire community to be a part of that. It is going to be a positive, uplifting time, and we want to get to know you, and we want you to get to know us. We want to connect with you, so all is invited. We do hope you guys make a note of that at our community outreach event, going to be Saturday, June 29th from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at 14411 East 33rd Street South, Independence, Missouri, 64055. Right behind Truman High School on Nolan Road. I-70 is your main highway. Praise God. Now, let's go into our final lesson of the culmination of what I've been teaching Kansas City and all of you listening concerning the oneness of God, moving into the new birth experience, baptism in Jesus' name, which we covered, and now finally, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everything we taught has been a collection of course, biblical teaching and doctrine. And as we conclude this entire series, we're focusing on the baptism of the Holy Ghost because it is something that was prophesied way back in the Old Testament. And we New Testament believers are supposed to have access to it, access to the power that God said he would give to us. Kind of reiterating that we are believing and the scriptures teaching us that he's only one God. Well, he also only has one spirit. So when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, those words are interchangeable. But let me specifically tell you what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the one true holy God. God is holy, according to what we read in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44. As well as 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. And God is a spirit. John 4:24 says that God is a spirit. This holy God, which is the Holy Spirit, is another office in which God himself holds and is an interchangeable term for who he is. You can look at Acts 5:3-4. 1 Corinthians 3:16. And the reason why this description is used is because it speaks of God's activities, how God operates on the earth. It speaks of his working on the earth and in the lives of humanity. For example, we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And the presence of God enables believers to do his work here on earth. The same way God uses spirit to move upon the face of the earth is the same way God's spirit enables us that are filled with the spirit to operate and work here. Look at Judges 15:14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, speaking of Samson, and the cords that were upon his arm became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. The Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, is the office that God is holding that allows humanity to have God Almighty work in our lives without any limits. But like the Holy Spirit moving upon Samson in the Old Testament, it was a temporary way the Lord would move, but it was not something that was at that point in time permanent. We will look at other Old Testament prophecies and show you that it was a desire of God that he would not be something that would be temporary, that move around them or come upon them, but that he would be someone that would be able to dwell in them or in us in a more permanent way. God wants to be permanently inside and operating in our lives through the power and the activity of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. So let's go to our first Old Testament prophecy that we're going to look at, Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 25. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 25, and we'll read verses 25 through 27. It says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." So God here is talking to his people through Ezekiel, saying, I'm going to put my spirit inside of you, and I'm going to give you a new heart. Looking at the next chapter of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 14. Ezekiel 37, verse 14. "And shall put my spirit in you," and what's going to happen? "You are going to live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Looking at Isaiah 28. 11 and 12. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12 reads. I'm sorry, let's go back to verse 9. Isaiah 28, verse 9. "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet ye would not hear." In the New Testament, the writer talks about this setting of scripture and speaks that it's the Holy Ghost that is the new rest that we are going to have when we're born of the Spirit. But it mentions that there is going to be a stammering of lips and another tongue that he would speak to his people. It was a current prophecy they were going to receive in regards to the relationship to area nations, but it was also prophetic concerning the stammering lips that would take place and how God would speak to his people. Now let's go to Joel chapter 2 and verse 18. Joel 2 verse 18, looking at Old Testament prophecies concerning the baptism or the Spirit of God being given to us. "Then the Lord became jealous for his land and spared his people. The Lord answered his people, look, I am about to send you grain, new wine, and olive oil, and you will be satisfied with them. And I will no longer make you a disgrace among the nations. I will drive out the northerner far from you and banish him to a dry and desolate land, his front ranks in the Dead Sea and his rear guard into the Mediterranean Sea. His stench will rise, yes, his rotten smell will rise, for he has done catastrophic things. Now look at verse number 21. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat thereof shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And he continues his prophecy right here. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit. This is a prophetic word that was received by the prophet Joel concerning what we've already read, that the Lord himself would send his spirit to operate. So the first point I'm making to you is that there are literally Old Testament prophecies that are speaking in advance that this is something that God did absolutely want to pour out. That's again in the Old Testament. I want to go into some New Testament scriptures. And then in 2 weeks, we would dive into them specifically on how we know that this was absolutely for the church. And it was not for just the first church, but it is for every single one of us. So let's look at the New Testament. Luke chapter 3 and verse 16. Luke 3 and verse 16 reads this way. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The scripture is important because it outlines an expectation that John set up concerning those that would believe on him who was to follow John the Baptist, which we all know is Jesus Christ. John 7:37 says that John is recording what was taking place. He says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And then it gives specifics. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Please allow me to explain this. John, of course, the beloved disciple, is writing this. He is giving a historical account of what took place earlier in his lifetime with Jesus, physically being with him and the disciples on that great day of the feast. During that time, Jesus stood up and he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And John is reiterating his words to us of what happened. Jesus said, verse 38, he that believes on me. Now think about this. Then there's a phrase that says, as the scripture has said. We all know, we all have said, yes, I believe on Jesus. Yes, I believe in God. And we have our own definition of the mental assent that we have concerning the Christ. But Jesus said, you cannot believe the way you want to believe. You have to believe the way scripture has said is evidence of your belief. And he says, he that believes on me, the way the scripture has said they believed on me, what should happen and what is the result? Is the last part of that verse, of verse 38. What would be the result would be then, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, if he said that, you could use any allegory to say what that means. But in verse 39, he gives us specifically what Jesus Christ was referring to when he spoke of true belief and what river it was that would be flowing out of your belly. So verse 39 says, he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. So all those that believe on Jesus Christ, then what comes along with that belief is that there should be rivers flowing out of you. And specifically what those rivers are is the Holy Ghost. Except when they heard it in real time, he says and clarifies, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So the prophecy that the Old Testament gave on down to John the Baptist saying you are going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and now Jesus Christ himself is prophesying that the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost is going to come. But of course it has to happen after the death, burial, and resurrection, and of course glorification of Jesus Christ for it to fall. And we are going to go into that when we go into the book of Acts. So we do understand, though, by these prophecies that the Holy Ghost is for all of us. He said, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. Okay, well, what else is the purpose or importance of the Holy Ghost? John 14 and verse 26. John 14 and verse 26 tells us, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So it's going to teach us all things. Jesus said that I have to go away. So I'm going to send you that Comforter. That's in John 16 and verse 5. So he gives more clarity on what the Comforter is. He says, but now I go away to him that sent me, and none of you ask me whither I go, but because I have said these things, you sorrow, or sorrow has filled your heart. But Jesus says in verse 7 of John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or necessary for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. So they had an expectation the Holy Ghost is going to be sent down after he leaves. The Bible tells us in John 16, 13, that the Holy Ghost is there, the Comforter there, to show you things to come, the Spirit of truth. He will guide you to all truth. We know, according to John 3, 1 through 5, when Nicodemus again was with Jesus, Jesus told him, you must be born again of what? The water and the Spirit. And if you are not born of the water and the Spirit, in verse 5, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So again, the Holy Ghost is necessary to enter into the kingdom of God. We have to have his Spirit in order to live in his kingdom. Mark 16 and verse 17. We understand the Bible says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils, and what? They shall speak with new tongues. Acts 1:8, Jesus on his way out, departing, tells his disciples in verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. So as you look at Old Testament prophecies, and of course I only went over about four sections of prophecy. But then we talked about Jesus Christ saying that he is going to send the Comforter and that he is the one that is going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost and that he is the one that is going to teach us all things and that it is his spirit that will allow rivers of living waters to flow out of our bellies and that when we believe, not our own mental assent, not a public confession of our faith, but true belief means that there are going to be signs that will follow us. One being, we will speak with new tongues. And so all these scriptures are just set up. You must be born of the water and the spirit. You must receive this comforter that I'm going to give to you after I go away. All of this expectation is what the disciples had along with the Jewish people in the Old Testament. And then when we go into the book of Acts, we're going to find that scripture after scripture in the book of Acts when the first church was birthed. They were following the expectation that this was the Spirit of God that would be sent. I'm going to show you how Joel was prophesying and that his prophecy, Peter began to preach it. I'm going to show you that the Holy Ghost is for our identity. It is for our spiritual understanding. It is to convict the world of sin. It is to give direction and guidance. It is to bear witness. It is to help us in prayer. It gives us the gifts and access to the gifts of the Spirit. And it gives us the correct fruit in accordance to the fruit of the Spirit. We have to have the Holy Ghost for all these things. And we're going to show that the Holy Ghost comes upon us. And that proof that we have the Holy Ghost, like Mark 16:17 said, that we would speak with new tongues. That is the way that it happened in the Word of God. And I want to show you this as we move into our last session. So again, the Holy Ghost is for identity according to Romans chapter 8:8-9. It is for spiritual understanding according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9-16. The Holy Ghost is to convict the world of sin, according to John 16, verse 8. For direction and guidance, according to Acts 13, 2-4. Acts 16, 6-7. And Romans chapter 8, verse 14. The Holy Ghost is there to bear witness, according to Romans 8, 16. And it helps us in prayer. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, 26-27, that the Holy Ghost will be our intercessor. It will make intercession for us. It will pray for us. We know not what we should pray, but the Spirit knows. The gifts of the Spirit, that will be very important that we do not mix up the gifts of the Spirit. And of course, included in that would be the gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues. That is not the gift of the Holy Ghost, but rather gifts of the Spirit that you possess if you have the Holy Ghost. And I will go into that as well in 2 weeks. And the last thing again is it gives us the correct fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. So again, thank you for listening. But again, before I close, I want to make sure I give a plug for our community outreach event we're having on June 29th, a free event for the entire Kansas City metro area. The address is at the Lighthouse Church of Independence at 14411 East 33rd Street South in Independence, Missouri, 64055. We are behind Truman High School off of Nolan Road, which is off of I-70. And it will be from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. We'll have bounce houses, music, free food, prizes, and giveaways, all for free. We want you to come and join us. Again, this is Pastor Rodney Barlow. I will see you in 2 weeks, and we will conclude our series, and we'll conclude again with understanding and how to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God bless you.